Welcome back to the Dealmakers Podcast Show with serial entrepreneur Alejandro Cremades, best-selling author of The Art of Startup Fundraising and co-founder at Panthera Advisors. In this podcast, we ask our guests about their successful acquisitions and financing rounds.
Alrighty, hello everyone and welcome to the Dealmakers Show. So today we have a great founder, you know, joining us. We're going to be talking about the building, the scaling, the financing, you know, going through the ups, through the downs, raising money from tier one investors. And then, you know, again, another very inspiring conversation that we have ahead of us. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest today, Jeff Wessler. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alejandro. Nice to be here.
So originally born and raised in Boston, Massachusetts. Give us a walk through memory lane. How was life growing up for you?
Sounds good. Life was good. I'm a huge fan of Boston. I'm a now New Yorker who still carries my Boston allegiances. Grew up as the youngest of three boys. I have a family that's had a lot of medicine and healthcare in it. One of my older brothers is a cardiologist. My grandfather was a cardiologist. And I, after leaving Boston, went over to Williams College, where I studied, and moved to England for a year to study at Cambridge doing public health and epidemiology. I'd say this is where I got my first inkling of interest in working in public health and healthcare at a broad scale. How can we create population level changes and effects? Came back, went to med school at Harvard, moved to New York, and studied medicine and cardiology before starting Heartbeat Health, which is a virtual cardiology company.
So I guess out of all things, obviously, you know, you had it in the family, cardiology. So did you know at a very early age that this is the path that you wanted to take? Because maybe it was like the dinner table conversation every night.
Yeah, I would say it was my default pathway. So I certainly tried lots of other things. I was a organic chemistry major in college, and I loved other fields of medicine. I loved things like architecture, but ultimately I kept coming back to healthcare and frankly cardiovascular disease and heart health as something I couldn't escape me and I couldn't seem to escape in my career.
So let's talk about that moment where you are now, you know, let's say working at the Columbia or, you know, maybe the New York Presbyterian Hospital or even Northwell Health. What was that point, especially when you were at Northwell Health, where you start to think that maybe there's like a different way to think about, you know, the heart and the way that people have the right education and guidance and access and stuff like that? Like, how did you start to incubate the idea? Because it's a really big leap to go from being in medicine to all of a sudden being an entrepreneur, especially after all that training, after all those years. I mean, it's quite a big jump.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I'll talk about it on two different planes. I think on the one hand, those institutions from Northwell to New York Presbyterian, this is where most of advanced medicine is being done at its highest level across the world right now. You've got amazing clinicians working on amazing science to deliver care and therapeutics that are at the top level, you know, better than anything you could have imagined as recently as a decade ago. And yet there's something missing in it. There's something missing, which is there's a huge, huge group of patients and population that doesn't get access to that high level of care. And this is the majority of the world. It's the majority of the world who does not show up to the hospital, doesn't get their care in these advanced settings. And I think that began gnawing at me during residency, during my training, when it felt like there were two different worlds of healthcare, those in this, you know, academic health system bubble and those everywhere else. So I'd put that as plane number one. Plane number two was my personal drive of saying, look, I really want to be able to work at a scale of affecting millions of patients at a time, not the one patient, one clinician interaction, which is so important, of course. And I still value that as one of the most purest forms of care out there. But for me, it was how do we get standards of care and high quality care to groups of populations in numbers that can really change the course of a disease state, things like heart disease, heart attacks, strokes. And that takes a new way of looking at it and frankly, a new innovative approach to delivering care.
What was that day when you said, screw it, let's do it? How did it become so obvious to you that day when you pulled the trigger?
You know, it's funny. I lived in the city on the Upper West Side and used to take the train up to Columbia at 168th Street. And a lot goes on in your mind when you're taking that train in very early mornings and very late nights on call. And I can distinctly remember a week of night call that, you know, pushed to the point of exhaustion when I'd been, you know, running all of these different ideas and concepts in my head and had a really particularly hard night in the hospital on my way home, was saying, you know, this is it. It's time for me to give this a shot, give this a real go, move the idea into an action. And I can say that started what now is a 8-year journey moving forward of bringing a concept into fruition and then building something that now has a reasonable amount of staying power.
So then talk to us about the business model of Heartbeat. What ended up being the business model of Heartbeat? How are you guys making money?
Yeah, so Heartbeat Health is at this point the largest virtual cardiology company in the U.S. You should think of us like a big cardiology practice. So we've got clinicians, including cardiologists and nurse practitioners and physician's assistants and nurses and care coordinators and medical assistants. All of these, like any division of cardiology, are practicing and caring for patients, with one main exception, which is we do it all without a brick and mortar footprint. So it's a roaming cardiology group that works with populations that need cardiology care and patients that need care, but doesn't bring them into an office. So we use telehealth, we use remote diagnostics to actually care for these members and these patients. Our business model's changed over the years. And in the last few years, we've really found our strongest fit in the market, if you will, by bringing this care and selling this care to provider groups that are either bearing risk on cardiovascular patients or who are understaffed to manage cardiovascular patients. And to give you a sense, in any large population, heart disease and heart issues are probably the number one or two driver of patient problems, comorbidities, cost. And so managing these is a huge priority for any group of providers managing these patients. And cardiologists are severely understaffed and over needed in these groups. So we can come in and really help. We can be part of your group, but help take care of these patients and bring the care right to you instead of having to hire a whole new set of cardiologists for your own group.
How was it like for you crossing that bridge from being more on the technical science side of things to now becoming an entrepreneur, to now being on the business side? That's quite the jump too.
Yeah, it was hard. I always loved business. And so I thought about it and read about it and, you know, watched videos about it. But doing it was really different. And, you know, there was a long period of time where I was, in the first couple of years, had to come up to speed with just entrepreneurship 101. And that was one of the largest points of growth for me as an individual. It was also the most exhilarating of my career so far. And it was what the internal feelings I was having building this business are what made me realize this was for me and this was right for me. It felt unlike anything I had done in the decade prior training in medicine, which is exhilarating in its own way. But this felt for me a culmination of bringing a set of clinical skills into a world of, you know, innovation, entrepreneurship, and business where you could actually commercialize opportunities that use these skills. And that was right for me. And 8 years later, this still feels right. I love the day-to-day. I love the work. And that's how I know that, you know, something's going well.
So then let's talk about the capital raising efforts too, because I mean, you guys have raised $65 million. So how has it been the journey of raising the money and all these different cycles that you've jumped, especially the last round? You know, you guys raised quite a significant amount too.
Yeah. So at the beginning, I always said I actually really enjoyed fundraising. I liked being a clinician in the room trying to convince smart people to dedicate their capital and their money into a field that I felt could be of, you know, no bigger value than healthcare. So in the early days, when you're really pitching a journey and a story and an idea, that's what matters. In the later days, it becomes, you know, highly about the financial opportunity for your capital partners, for the investments. Heartbeat has been, as a company, very fortunate that in the face of a lot of headwinds on the capital, in the capital markets, our progress has been very, very strong. And you know, we've had fairly unprecedented growth over the last year. That has allowed our fundraising and our financing to be very successful. And so we, in this last round, which was our Series C, was led by a group called Cressy & Co., which is fantastic investment firm out of Chicago, along with some existing partners of ours, 406 Ventures, Echo Health Ventures, Kindred Ventures, to name a few. And these partners have been with us for the long run. They've been tremendous help for me to bring me up to speed to on, you know, how to conduct a successful financing. And I think we've been both fortunate by the support, but also, you know, frankly, it's been the value of the business that has helped make these so successful. And hopefully we'll see it keep going as the, you know, the market starts potentially to open up again, especially for health tech.
What do you think was the toughest piece on the fundraising journey of the last raise? Because that was quite a big raise.
For us, it was, you know, one of the things that was very interesting is we were a moving target, meaning our growth had, we started to hit an inflection point of growth probably around January of last year or of this past year. And so things had changed rapidly while doing the fundraise. Fortunately for the better for us, but you never really know how that's going to happen. And anytime you go out for a financing, you can expect it to be a 1 to 3 month process. And so you've got to be aware that your numbers are going to come in month over month while you're in the middle of the fundraise. And that changes expectations. It changes the modeling, the forecast, the underwriting, et cetera. That was something we had to stay ahead of to make sure we were feeling good about the fact that we were beating budget month over month, while we were also projecting our new forecast model. And that led for a lot of, you know, late nights of making sure we were ready to present and ready to defend all of the modeling that was happening.
Hey guys, so pardon the interruption here. So I got to tell you that, you know, for those of you that are either looking to raise money or you're looking to get your company acquired, you don't have to be alone. You know, there's a lot of psychology that needs to be blended with strategy, with methodology, with process. And it's very hard, and already doing your business alone is super, super difficult. So I remember, you know, back then when I was an entrepreneur, I kept really experiencing the challenge of either knowing or finding the right type of access to the right type of investors, or really understanding what was the right type of guidance, you know, that would carry me through the process, whether it was with seeking money or with going through the acquisition. So that gap that I found being an entrepreneur is ultimately what pushed me later on, when I met my co-founder at Pantera, Mike Severson, to really put together an advisory firm where we are guiding entrepreneurs and founding teams through the capital raising efforts, whether you are at a seed stage or at a Series A stage, or if you are going through the process of an acquisition and you are in small to mid-cap type of cycle. So again, you know, we would help you from guiding you and supporting you from A to C all the way to the end as an extension of your team. And there's no reason for you to do this alone. So with that being said, if you would like to find out more, feel free to send me an email at alejandro@panteraadvisors.com. And we would love to take a look at helping you out.
So talk to us about that moment where you felt, I think this is going to work out. You know, that moment where all of a sudden you were like, wow, I think that we're into something.
Yeah. So I'll mention two of these. The first happened about three years ago. We had made a transition, I'd say, like many companies, of moving direct to consumer into B2B sales. And I think the goal behind that was to say, if we're going to really add value to this world in cardiology, we've got to be able to see patients who really need our services, not just patients who want to sign up for a new healthcare trend. Even though you might be able to build a good business on that, the longer business and the bigger upside opportunity comes if you're bringing real value there. So we made this transition, began selling into Medicare, and all from the beginning, from day one, we've been collecting evidence and data on everything we do. And you started to see that the value we were adding was happening. We were improving outcomes. We were reducing hospitalization rates. Patients were thrilled with the service. And that was my first moment. This was far before we had any real financial numbers that were all that interesting. But the value was there. And that was my first moment of saying, you know what, like this is going to work. If we can keep this up, then we're actually bringing value into the specialty world in healthcare. And that's, you know, fundamentally what you need to be able to do to sustain a business. So that's point one. And then just very briefly on the second point, I think this past year, we put the way our sales and our care works is it takes a long time for groups to bring us through a sales cycle, get to know us, start patient care, and then grow it from there. And so we have to be patient. And a lot of that patience began paying off financially in 2024. And this was sort of the second inflection point of saying, all right, the economic health of the business is now happening. And we're seeing that there's really a path for this to be not just a nice business, but potentially a great one.
Let's talk about that moment where you guys were operating two businesses, you know, simultaneously, and where there was almost a reckoning event there that could have been catastrophic. Tell us about what happened there.
Sure. So not everything has been roses and sunshine forever. In fact, about a year ago, Heartbeat was in a very different place. We were, as you say, effectively had two different businesses that we were building. We were building a platform for cardiology with the intent on bringing that to market and commercializing that. And we were doing and selling services of cardiovascular care. This was costing us a lot of money. It was very difficult to reconcile the fact that we were doing two different things. And ultimately, our customers were only buying one thing and were only benefiting from one thing. And our patients were only benefiting from one thing, which was the care we were delivering. So we made the very hard decision to, you know, really close down the intent to commercialize our platform, but rather just build and sell our services and use the platform as a back end, really just to make us more efficient and be able to scale. It came with a lot of changes in the company, and, you know, it took us months to actually sort through the right way to reorganize the company to provide this. And, you know, a year later, I'm very pleased with how things are going and the outcomes, but it was certainly not a foregone conclusion we would have got to this point if we had kept building two separate products.
So then in this regard too, what would you say that from one of those, say, tough moments, you know, that you experience as an entrepreneur, what have you learned too about being able to bounce back, you know, not to get caught up on the what ifs, and just to keep going? Because I'm sure that there's like a lot of founders that are listening to us right now that maybe they're dealing with, you know, one day they wake up, everything is in flames, and then at night, you know, everything is beautiful. It's just like that roller coaster. Who have you found that you need to be in those moments in order to be effective?
Yeah, it's a great question. It is one I've struggled with over the years. Number one, being a founder can be very isolating and lonely. You have to have a support system, a group that you can call, that you can talk through issues that, you know, are not your board, or groups that are going to have a, you know, potentially a different, or your investors that might have a different incentive than you. So you need to find a way to keep yourself, I'd say, stable through the rockiness that is foundership. There's going to be lots of ups and lots of downs. It's always easy to remember the downs and forget the ups. And so one of the first pieces of advice is celebrate those wins and remember those wins, because they're there. You wouldn't be on this journey, and it wouldn't be continuing if you didn't have enough of the wins to sustain it. And don't let those, you know, fall prey to the the down times and the bad things that are happening such that you forget about them and it just becomes too negative.
So let's say you were to go to sleep tonight and you wake up in a world where the vision of the company, of Heartbeat, is fully realized. What does that world look like, Jeff?
I love this question. I don't think about this enough. So that would, I would encourage everyone to think about, remind yourself of the vision. For me, cardiology care in its fully realized version with Heartbeat is one in which every patient across the U.S. who needs it can call and get a clinical visit, you know, within a day or two. That sounds pretty simple, but that alone would drastically improve the clinical outcomes across cardiovascular disease. Our care works if we can get it to people when they need it, on time, in the right place, then the outcomes will present themselves and patients will do much, much better.
So then let's talk about we're talking about the future here, but I want to talk about the past and doing so with a lens of reflection. If I was to put you into a time machine and I bring you back to, let's say, 2016, that moment where you were thinking about a world where you could put a gap to the problem that you were encountering, you know, and starting to think there at that point of becoming an entrepreneur, if you were able to go back and see that younger Jeff, and you were able to give that younger Jeff one piece of advice for launching a business based on what you know now, what would that be and why?
Well, first and foremost, I would say that the people you want to surround with yourself with need to be exceptional, great, like-minded friends and people. It is so easy to be wooed by, especially in the early days, people that have a promise to and a resume that you think is going to unnaturally accelerate things, when what you really need is a group that you can figure it out with. I was lucky early on to have some great co-founders that helped me think through this, but also have had some employees in some early groups that I was hoping would, you know, accelerate some aspect of the business that it turned out we needed to figure out on our own. There was no hack. And I think that's probably the other, you know, big lesson that I tell myself is there is no hack to speeding things up. You've got to be patient. You've got to learn from the market, what the market wants, what it doesn't want, how to build this, and be in it for the, you know, the 8, 10, 15, 20 year journey, especially in healthcare, in services and tech-enabled services. Nothing can happen much faster than that. And so, you know, the patience is something I continually am reminded about, wish I had been reminded about sooner and more often, and would help anyone thinking about the initial starting point.
So in that regard, I mean, you've been at it with the company for over 8 years now. You know, 8 years is a lifetime, you know, as a founder with one company. It's like 150 years in corporate, right? So obviously, you know, the Heartbeat that you have now is a different Heartbeat than the one that you got started. And every 18 to 24 months, the life cycles tend to change. So I guess you as a founder, you as, you know, ultimately the founder and CEO of the company, how have you been able to really develop yourself so that you were able to keep up at the same pace of the company's growth, which I think is a really big one? Because in many instances, unfortunately, companies, you know, they just leave founders behind, and then the founders need to be replaced by, you know, another operator or something that is able to take the company to the next stage. How have you been able to develop yourself to keep at the same pace with the company's growth?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So I'd answer it in a couple ways. Number one, surround yourself with great people. We've got a truly A-plus team, and that pushes me. It means that I have people that are so much stronger than me at many aspects of the business, from finance to operations, you know, to obviously product and development. Those people, I learn from them every single day. They push me, they push the business forward. And you've got to cultivate this leadership group of you know, learners and, you know, co-pilots on the way. The second thing I'd say is you've got to intentionally grow as a person. And I've had to grow personally. I've had to grow, you know, from a career standpoint. I've had to learn things about finance and sales and, you know, operations and product that I had to go to school again to do. And if you don't go in with that learner's mindset, then you'll be left behind as the business outgrows you. Part of that involves personal reflection. So not just career minded, but personally, you've got to grow. I had a fantastic coach for a year who helped me really, I'd say, step up my maturity as a leader. And you have to invest in your own growth if you're going to be able to grow with the company.
I love it. So Jeff, for the people that are listening that would love to reach out and say hi, what is the best way for them to do so?
Yeah, I'm always on LinkedIn, Jeff Wessler, WESSLER, and my email is Jeff, JEFF, at heartbeathealth.com. I love hearing from people and always happy to get on a call and chat.
Amazing. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for being on the Dealmaker Show today. It has been an absolute honor to have you with us.
Alejandro, thank you. This was a lot of fun.
If you like the show, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you could leave a review as well, that would be fantastic. And if you got any value, either from this episode or from the show itself, share it with a friend. Perhaps they also appreciate it. So also remember that if you need any help, whether it is with your fundraising efforts or with selling your business, you can reach me at alejandro@pantheraadvisors.com.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Dealmakers Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to alejandrocremades.com. Thank you for listening, and see you at the next episode.